The light brighter than the sun. The light brighter than the sun. Let's open our Bibles first to Acts chapter 7. We first meet Saul of Tarsus at the stoning of Stephen. That's the first mention. Saul of Tarsus. The stoning of Stephen. Let's look at it a moment. Acts 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, that is the testimony of Stephen, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul of Tarsus, his path of hatred and persecution continued from this moment. In fact, showing great strong opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it here in chapter 8 now. He continued on this evil path, opposition to Christ. Chapter 8, verse 1, And Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, now watch this, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, when you read these four verses about this man's terrible hatred for Christ and the people of God, you would judge by reading this that this man was a profane man, that this man was a political power, that this man was a power man, mad heathen. But not so. Not so. This man, Saul of Tarsus, in his own opinion, and in the opinion of most others, was a very, very religious man. A very, very moral man, blameless before the law. And a very, very self-righteous man. Let me show you that in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look, if you will, with me at chapter 3 of Philippians and verse 4. He describes his religious convictions in Philippians 3, verse 4. Bragging about himself. Listen to it. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh him that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more than anybody. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless, a blameless man. This man believed in God. I didn't say he believed God. The Bible says Abraham believed God. But Saul believed in God. Yes, he believed in God. He believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not only that, but he read and studied the Scriptures. And not only that, but he outwardly obeyed the moral law. He kept the Sabbath day to the letter. He tithed 10% of everything he owned. He fasted twice a week. He kept the Passover feast. He kept the law. He was a very religious man. But Saul's wrath, Saul's opposition and hatred revolved around one thing, one issue, and that was, who is Jesus Christ? That's what it's all about. Who is Jesus Christ? How old was this man? When was Saul born? Saul of Tarsus, when was he born? He was born in 5 A.D. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem's manger, was 5 years old when Saul of Tarsus was born. I want to show you this in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Turn over here. Saul of Tarsus was born in A.D. 25 to A.D. 5. And he was about 28 years old when Christ died on the cross. So this man, look at Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Speaking of himself. I am verily a man which am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. I was brought up in the city at the feet of a man called Gamaliel. He was the teacher of Saul of Tarsus. In Jerusalem and in Tarsus and other areas, Saul was brought up at the feet of this man. There were two great teachers in that day, and Gamaliel was one of them. And he went on and said, and I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and I was zealous toward God as you are this day. So Saul, when Christ died on the cross, 28 years old, going about Jerusalem, Judea, and all these places, and knew about the life of Christ, the disciples of Christ, the miracles of Christ, and the works of Christ. It's like you said there, it wasn't done in a coat, it was done right there in front of this fellow. And Gamaliel, this man Gamaliel, made a pretense of defending the apostles. When Christ died on the cross and these apostles were put in prison, Gamaliel, this man, this teacher of Saul of Tarsus, he made a show of defending these men. Let me show you that. Turn, if you will, to Acts 5. Acts chapter 5, Gamaliel was involved in this sort of thing. In Acts chapter 5. Now listen carefully to this. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They told the disciples, now don't preach in this name anymore, this name of Jesus, this one who died on the cross, and just don't preach that in that name anymore. So they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now verse 30. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted to his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin, and we're his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them to obey him. And when these Pharisees heard that, when they heard that testimony from the apostles, listen, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay him. And then stood there up in the council, who? But Gamaliel, Saul's teacher. He stood up to defend these men. I don't understand this, but nevertheless, listen. A doctor of the law, who had in reputation among all the people, and he commanded them to put the apostles forth a little space. He said, now give these men some room. This man had power. Gamaliel. He said, leave these men alone right now. Now listen. Listen to his his speech. He said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do is touching these men. For before these days arose Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. He was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, they were scattered, brought to nothing. After this man rose up Judas," it's not Judas Iscariot, this is another Judas, "Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing. He drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say to you, refrain from these men, Peter, James, and John. Leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it'll come to naught." He wasn't actually taking their part. He was just saying, leave them alone. Just leave them alone. If this is not of God, it'll come to nothing. It won't mean a thing. But now listen to the next statement. "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." So Saul of Tarsus, about the time our Lord was walking this earth, he was too. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, educated, powerfully educated, fully aware of what took place in Jerusalem, fully aware in the day of Christ. He certainly did. He knew all of these things. He was moving among the Sanhedrin, among the Pharisees, among these great teachers, Gamaliel and the others. I can't think of the other one's name. But this was his attitude. Now watch this. It wasn't that Saul wasn't exposed to the gospel of Christ. He was. He saw it. He heard what they had to say. But now here's his attitude. Turn to Acts 26. I want you to look at this comment from his own mouth. In Acts chapter 26, verse 9 and 10. Here's his whole problem. In Acts 26, verse 9 and 10. Here's what he said. "I barely thought." You got it? Acts 26, 9. "I barely thought with myself." So he had some thoughts, didn't he? Yes, sir. He was exposed to the disciples and Christ and all of these workings of God. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus knew Saul of Tarsus. But this is what Saul said. "I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I hate him." That's the problem. "I thought about this man, but I sought to do everything I could contrary," just opposite of what he does think. Opposite of what he had to say. Contrary. Listen to the next verse. "Which thing I also did" where? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. The very thing contrary to Jesus Christ I did in Jerusalem. "And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against." You talk about hatred. You talk about violence of spirit against Jesus Christ. This man was his greatest enemy. He was a Jew. He didn't need a mediator. He didn't need anyone to reveal God to him. He knew God. He was a Jew. He was a moral man. He didn't need mercy. "I fast. I tithe. I give alms. I'm blameless before the law. I don't need any atonement. I don't need any mercy." He was a righteous man, and I thank God, like the Pharisees said, "I'm not like other men." And that's what he believed. He was righteous before the Lord. Well, when you face this, we're going to turn to chapter 9 now. One of two things must be done to a man like this. One of two things must be done by the Spirit of God in regard to a man like Saul of Tarsus? One of two things. Number one, leave him in his false religion. Leave him there. Leave him in his self-righteousness. Leave him in his blindness. Just leave him there. And not only leave him there, but because he hates the truth and receives not the love of the truth, send him some more strong delusions that he'll believe a lie and be damned for it. God can do that, and God does do that. And the second thing is to awaken him. To break him. To humble him before God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is able. So let's see what the Lord's pleased to do. Acts 9. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That was his enemy, Christ. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against Christ. As much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Breathing out threatenings. He went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, what way is that? That's the way of faith, the way of grace, the way of Christ, the way of salvation by grace. Whether they were men or women, doesn't matter. Bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. What time of day was it? It doesn't tell us here, does it? But if you turn to Acts chapter 26, it tells you what time of day it was. In Acts chapter 26, verse 12. Acts 26:12. He said in Acts 26:12, Rick, got it? Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, noon, high noon, in that hot country, it's high noon, the sun beaming down in all of its glory. And midday, O king, I saw in the heavens, I saw a light from heaven. What was it like? Above the brightness of the sun. It put the sun in shame. Above the brightness of the sun at noonday. Shining round about me. And them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew tongue. The Hebrew tongue. And we know who spoke. We know what language he spoke. We know to whom he spoke. And he called him my name, his Hebrew name, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? You see, light's the first thing. In this thing of leaving men alone in their blindness, that's darkness, no light. But the first thing in the old creation and in the new creation is light. God supplies the light. A light brighter than the sun. That's right. A light is the first thing in the new creation as it is in the old creation. And let me tell you about this light. I want you to turn to Matthew 17. I want you to turn to Matthew 17. Let me tell you about this light. The light brighter than the sun. In Matthew 17, what's its origin? Where did it come from? Matthew 17. Came from the heavens. I know that. Matthew 17, verse 1 and 2. After 6 days. Got it? Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, brighter than the sun. His raiment was white as light. His face did shine as the sun. And God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge, the revelation in the face of Jesus Christ. His face did shine as the sun. That's salvation. That's redemption. Well, let's go on. Acts 9, verse 4. And Saul, verse 4. He fell to the earth. He fell to the earth. Not being able to bear the light. I understand, don't you? Not being able to bear the light. Much less the divine glory and majesty of Jesus Christ. Think about it. And he heard a voice. This was a real voice. This was a real voice. This was the Savior's voice. He appeared to Saul. Did you know that? The Lord Jesus Christ, right then, appeared to Saul of Tarsus. He was seen by the Lord Jesus Christ, right there. And he called him Saul, Saul, in the Hebrew tongue, the voice from heaven, the voice of Christ. He appeared to him. Let me show you how we... The scripture tells us that Saul, that Christ appeared to Saul. Turn to Acts 26 first. Acts 26. Acts 26. He literally, absolutely, in that occasion appeared to Saul. Let me show you this. In Acts 26, verse 16. Acts 26, verse 16. Listen. In verse 15, Paul is recounting this experience later. In Acts 26:15, and I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. But rise, listen, stand on your feet, for I have what? Appeared unto thee. I appeared to thee for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of those things which you've seen and of those things in which the which I'll appear unto you later." Later. Let me show you this in 1 Corinthians 15. Same thing. Same thing about this Christ appearing to Paul. See, a disciple not only had to be called of God and made apostle of Christ, but he's got to learn the gospel from Christ, and he's got to have seen the Lord. And Paul, Saul, saw the Lord in one born out of due time. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, listen. Verse 7, chapter 15, verse 7, 1 Corinthians says, "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, the rascal." That's what he was. "Last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born, an abortive birth, out of due time." I was born out of due time. Listen to this voice. Chapter 9, verse 4, listen. "And he fell to earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul." Christ called his name twice. "You're one of my own. Why are you doing this to me? Saul, Saul." When our Lord was rebuking Martha, he said, "Martha, Martha, what's wrong with you?" You ever do that? Talking to one of your children, "Adam, Adam, what's wrong with you?" "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I've been your surety from all eternity. I was your Savior who chose you and loved you and gave myself for you, shed my blood for your sin. I'm right now at the Father's right hand interceding for you that great grace might be bestowed upon you." Saul, come on. Saul. Well, this is going on. And what's this man thinking? Well, this is what he's thinking. Who are you? Who are you? He didn't know. Somebody might think right here at this time, well, he's thinking about the Lord Jesus. No, not on your bottom dollar. He had despised Jesus Christ ever since he heard about him. He wasn't. Somebody said when they stoned Stephens, he was all upset over Christ. Why, he went down and stoned some more. He wasn't upset. Who are you? Is this God speaking? Is this an angel speaking? Who is this? That's what he said. Saul didn't know who was speaking to him. He didn't know Christ. He didn't love Christ. He never expected the voice of Jesus Christ to ever be spoken again or heard again. They put him in a tomb. They buried him. He didn't expect to hear from him. Saul was in a state of total ignorance and total ignorance concerning Christ. And so the Lord Jesus, right then, revealed himself to him. Listen. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And then when he talked, said this in Acts 22:8, he added this. See, I'm not adding to the Word of God, because Paul gave this account himself. He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he said. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't say I'm God. He didn't say I'm an angel. He identified who Christ is, God in human flesh. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, son of Mary. Jesus, redeemer of the sheep. Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, despised and hated and offended of all people, died on the cross, buried, and rose again. Rose to seat at the right hand of God. That's who I am. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. That's who I am. Paul said that in Romans 4. I can't quote my scripture like I used to, but he says this. He said, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God by power. And one old Puritan said, till God in human flesh I see, my thoughts no comfort find. The holy, just, and sacred three are terrors to my mind. But if I see Christ, born of woman, made of a woman, and declared to be the Son of God, if I see Christ in the flesh, in God, redeeming me, I got some hope. And that's the way our Lord revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus. I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And what's this next line? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What is that talking about? Well, this is a proverbial speech taken from oxen or slaves. Years ago, when they used to use goads, that is, sharp-pointed spurs or sticks, to drive oxen. They put these goads around these oxen and they just goad them. Every once in a while, make them work harder and push harder. And just those pricks. And they used to do that to slaves, according to what I read. And when this ox or this person resisted, it just hurt him more. It didn't hurt the folks that were doing it. It was hurting him. And that's what Saul is saying. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. God, you're just hurting yourself. That's all you're doing. You're just hurting yourself. You're just doing these things to yourself. I can't think of the scripture. It talks about that they... Folks don't understand salvation because they just They become enemies to themselves. They become enemies to themselves. And that's what we are when we don't know Christ. We are our own worst enemy. And Saul, look at the next thing in verse 6. And he trembling and astonished. Trembling and astonished. He met this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Met the Savior. A light brighter than the sun. A voice from heaven. And the very appearance of Christ. But especially these words made him tremble and astonished. Who art thou? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Let me show you five things here. And this has to happen. This has to happen if God's going to save a man. God's going to really convert a man or a woman. It's got to happen. It's what happened to this man. Number one, Saul began this day riding in splendor. He finished this day in the dust. In the dust. Biting the dust. And that's where you'll be too. Number two. Saul began the day calling Jesus Christ of Nazareth an imposter. He finished the day. Lord, what would you have me do? Call him Lord? It's finished. It's done. He knows. He knows now. Saul began this day. He thought seeing all things and knowing all things. He was a smart aleck of the last batch. He finished the day seeing nothing and knowing nothing. And that's where we come. I don't see anything. I don't know anything. Nothing. Saul began this day as a leader of men. Boy, he had it right out front there. Everybody thought, leader of men. He finished this day being led by men, by the hand, blind as a bat. Couldn't find his way. I couldn't find my way. Lead me in the path of righteousness. I can't find my way. Show me thy way. I'll never find it if you don't. And he began this day breathing out threatenings and slaughter against Christ and his people. And Ronnie just read it, and he paused when he read it. He closed this day. Behold, he prayeth. He's praying now. He's praying. Well, verse 6 said this. Well, Lord, he trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me do? He's willing to do anything. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He will do anything to atone for his great evil against Christ. But here he is, still laboring under the covenant of works. What you want me to do? What you want me to do? Well, the Lord tells an awakened sinner, a guilty sinner, a helpless sinner, the only thing he can do. He said, you arise and go to the city and it'll be told you what to do. In other words, the Lord will send a preacher with some gospel to tell you what to do. Let's read about that over in Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. Verse 12, 16. And this man Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus in verse 12 of Acts 22, "And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, he came to me, and he stood, and he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight." Who gives sight? That God does. Saul couldn't do anything about that. Nothing him do that. Same hour I looked upon him, and he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee." Well, there's nothing for Saul to do there. God chose him. "That you should know his will." Not that you should do, but that you know. What is his will? His will of redemption. His will of salvation. "And that you might see." See whom? The just one. The one who's just and justified. "And you should hear the word of his mouth." Hear. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Not doing anything. It's hearing. But I'll tell you what you will do because of what he's done for you. Verse 15. "You'll be his witness unto all men of what you've seen, what you've heard." They're going to hear from you. They're going to hear from you. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." They're here from you. But God will do it. Let me show you one more verse, and I'll close. And Ananias in verse 17, Acts 9, verse 17. Skip down to verse 17. I'm just telling you what Paul's already said about that other Acts 22. But verse 17, "Ananias went his way, entered into the house, put his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, he sent me that you might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And suddenly, immediately, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales." This man was totally blind. "And they fell from his eyes as it had been scales." And that's what God does when he saves a sinner. He gives him sight, understanding. And his old scales fall. What are these scales? Self and pride? Ignorance of himself and Christ and the gospel? Unrighteousness before God? Superstition and tradition? Malice and bigotry? It just fell from his sight. From his eyes, his head and scales. I experienced this in 1950. I was 24 years old. I was religious like Saul of Tarsus, following a religion of works and all these things. Didn't know Christ. But a preacher, God sent a preacher, and I heard this message. And when I heard this message, it just fell from my eyes as scales. All this works for salvation, etc., etc., just fell from my eyes as scales. And I saw the Lord.